Barry, if you could turn me down. We don't want to overwhelm Audacity. I want to remind you, if you have your cell phones, to turn them on stun. Good morning, y'all. Before I get started, I have a couple of packets up here. One of them is some more packets for the discipleship training, or discipleship lessons. They went a lot quicker than I thought they would, and I still had requests for more. So after end of the service, if you'd like to pick up a packet, I got about five of them there. The second one, if I could get a couple of guys up here and pass out, don't pass out, but hand out to those packets. You can leave that one there, Joe. Just split the one that Dave has. There you go. I hope I got enough for at least a couple. So while they're doing that, there was a pastor in a country church, and it was time for service to start, and only this old cowboy showed up, and the pastor shook his hand and said, "Welcome to church." He says, "Looks like you're the only one here." He says, "Do you want to go ahead and do the service, or you want to go home and come back and try again next week?" And the old cowboy says, "Well, when it's time for feeding, if only one cow shows up, we feed him." So pastor says, "Well, okay." So the cowboy sits down, and the pastor gets up, and he starts his message, and he just starts going off and getting carried around and pounding the pulpit and going on and on, and he's watching this cowboy, and the cowboy's paying attention, so preacher's got more encouragement and keeps on going and gets more excited, and the cowboy's sitting there listening, and about an hour and a half later, you know, the pastor closes and he meets a cowboy at the door, and he said, "Well, what did you think?" And the cowboy says, "Well, when it's time for feeding, if only one cow shows up, we feed him, but we don't give him the whole bale at once." So, I don't know how many services now about 8 or 10 services now we've been having Koinonia time, I'm guessing. And we have the Koinonia time, and we always tell you that this is a time for you to encourage each other and to share each other's gifts that the Holy Spirit has given you. And then we have our gathering time, which we get together and talk about what we're having after church. But the Koinonia time is a time specifically for sharing and encouraging each other and growth of the body using our spiritual gifts. Well, this is going to be a different kind of message. I'm kind of good at that, in that it's going to be more of a teaching today than it is a message per se, as you're accustomed to. And the reason for that is because whenever I ask anyone to do things, I like to give them the tools and the knowledge to be able to accomplish what I ask them to do. And there's a lot of confusion around what spiritual gifts are. And so today I'd like to do a lesson on specifically spiritual gifts this morning. And once you understand what spiritual gifts are, then it makes it easier to be able to share with one another, right? I mean, if you don't know what they are, how are you going to do it? So this is an opportunity for us all to learn. Now, this isn't going to be an in-depth study. It's going to be more of a conceptual study. If you'd like a more in-depth study, perhaps we could explore in a deeper level on Tuesday nights after Dave is done with John, if that's something that you want to do. That's also up to Dave as well, but that is an idea. So there are two basic gifts that God gives us. One of them is our natural abilities, and that is what we're comfortable with doing and what we're good at. And we've been good at it since, you know, third grade. Playing the piano, it's something that you learned, something that you acquired, something that you enjoy, and it's something that you do. That's a natural gift. You know, I was born with a TV repairman as my dad, and I literally cut my teeth on his workbench. Probably wasn't the healthiest thing in my mouth, but I grew up, you know, playing with an oscilloscope before I could even read or write. I had no idea what I was doing, but I was making cute little lines on the tube. And so I grew up around electronics, and I learned to love electronics, and it sort of framed my mind into a more analytical bend rather than an artistic bend. I leave the artistic stuff to Carol. But so that's kind of more of a natural ability that sometimes we get confused with a spiritual gift. I've even heard a lady tell me one time that her spiritual gift was playing the piano. And I'm going, I don't remember reading that, you know? And there are other, you know, people claiming that, you know, real estate is my spiritual gift, or you know, accounting is my spiritual gift. You know, all these natural abilities that God has given us, we confuse with a spiritual gift. And so I wanted to teach us to understand the difference between our natural abilities and what is a genuine spiritual gift. And so on the first page of your handout, I've just listed all of the spiritual gifts that are written by Paul, that Paul lists. The first four, ironically enough, which I never knew before studying this, and by the way, I am learning a lot as I study this too. But the first four are in Isaiah. And you go, wait a minute, you can't get spiritual gifts out of Isaiah, because Isaiah is in the Old Testament, it's under the law, it's a Jew writing to the Jews, and that is all true. However, Isaiah is specifically talking about the gift the Holy Spirit gives. And if you would like to, let's go to Isaiah chapter 11. Isaiah chapter 11, and we'll read verse 2. It says, "And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, and the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, and the fear of the Lord. Oh, might and the spirit of knowledge, sorry, small print, and the fear of the Lord. So here we look at wisdom, understanding, counsel, might, and knowledge. And those are attributed to the Holy Spirit, the gifts that he's able to give. So it isn't just to the Jew that he can give these to. These are things that he can give us as well, because the Holy Spirit is God, and God doesn't change, and his attributes do not change. How he relates to us changes, but God himself doesn't change. And so these are attributes that Isaiah recognized in the Holy Spirit. And so I included them with asterisks so that you can take it or leave it, but I included them because it does recognize the attributes that the Holy Spirit has that can, as a gift that we can receive. And so the rest of the gifts are found in 1 Corinthians. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And I like this chapter because it develops not only what the spiritual gifts are, but it develops why they are. And so let's start, let's start with verse 1. Chapter 12, verse 1. It says, now concerning, oh, by the way, I'm reading out of NIV because I'm sorry about that, but that's what I studied out of. So, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. So, we're to know what those spiritual gifts are. It's not a surprise. It's not a secret. It's something for us to know. You know that ye were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. So we have many, many gifts, but is given by the same Holy Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. So there are different ways of it being administered. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kind of tongues, and another interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man, every man severely as he will. For as the body is one and hath many members, now this is why God gives us these different gifts, okay? For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, wherefore we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not the body, is it therefore not the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing? If the whole body were hearing, where would the smelling? But now God has set the members, every one of them, in the body as it pleases him. So here God tells us that in order to be an effective body of Christ, a church, everyone has to serve differently. Because not everyone has the same experiences in life. And not everyone can share the same thing to everyone. And I'll explain. For instance, I think I have the ability to relate to another electronics person. I'd be able to understand his language, what he's talking about. I would enjoy talking to somebody like that. And I think I would be able to find hooks in our conversation to bring God into our conversation and to be able to witness to that person because of my background and what I know and my experiences. I can relate to people that other people cannot relate to. If I were to go to the book thing that my wife was going to, I would be a fish out of water. I wouldn't be able to relate to anybody. My brain doesn't go to the creative side of life. They'd be talking about, authors, and they'd be talking about agents, and they'd be talking about plots and all these things. And Carol can relate very well to that kind of thing, because that's who she is. And she can be able to find, people to witness to that I couldn't do. So we all have our abilities to be able to witness to certain people. And it's the same thing with the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm talking about natural abilities when I'm talking about relating to people in the world. But in the church, God can use the spiritual gifts that he gives us to be able to help each other and grow the body. For instance, we have a list here, and I had categorized first the gifts on the second page by the books that they're found in. So if you want to do a study in it, Romans 12, 6 through 8, 1 Corinthians, which we just read, Ephesians 4, 11. So Paul here is talking about not everybody can be an eyeball and help the church grow. And does it mean that you're not important part of the body? No, it's very important for you to be an eyeball. For the eyeball needs to be able to see where we're going. Not everybody is a foot. And we can't all be feet in order for the body to grow. But does that mean the foot is not important? No, the foot is important because we need a foot to go. And the eye to see where we're going. So the Lord gives us, when we become, when we accept him as our personal Savior, and we are baptized at that point by the Holy Spirit, with him, the Holy Spirit, as he indwells us, and we become the temple of the Holy Spirit, he endows us with the gifts that he deems necessary to grow. So not everybody is going to have the same gifts, because it's not necessary for everybody to have the same gifts, nor would it be beneficial or fruitful for everybody to have the same gift. So everybody will have different gifts at different times to produce different results. For instance, not everybody should have the gift of teaching. If everyone were a teacher, there would be no learners or no growth in the church. But that doesn't make the teacher more important of the body than the people he is teaching. The whole purpose of the teaching is to edify and grow and educate the people who are Christ, who are the church. The teacher wants to be used by God and use the gifts that God has given as a teacher to help grow the body. When I was younger and used to go to church, I used to think that the pastor who was up front teaching all the time was the office to strive for. I thought he was the most important man in the church because he had the gift of preaching, of being a pastor and teaching. But as I've grown and I matured as a Christian, I realized, you know, I believe the people who are out there doing God's work, using His gifts, are more important than the pastor teacher. The pastor teacher, his job is to educate and to equip you to be able to go out and use your gifts and help grow the body. Well, the rest of the time, he's in his office studying for the next sermon, going through books and writing books and answering phones and administrating the church. That isn't really growing the church. It's sustaining the church, but it isn't growing the church. It isn't until we are out there and using the gifts that God has given for each other to help edify and grow each other and encourage each other. Because, you know, during the week, we really get beat up out there, don't we? It's a tough world. And we sometimes feel like we're all alone as Christians in this world. When we come together, you know, you can see this as a hospital, right? And in this hospital, we have people with different gifts. We have the doctor, we have the nurse, we have the CNA. You know, we have all these people working together to bandage each other up, to encourage each other and to strengthen each other, to get us to where we can go back out into the world and do another week. That's the purpose of coming together. And that's why they say that, you know, God, Paul says, you know, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. Because if you were to take a picture, think of a picture of a fire or even a barbecue, when you've got a whole bunch of coals together and they're all red hot. If you were to take one of those coals out away from the rest, you'd find it slowly dimming and coming back, turning black. It is being together and sharing our gifts with one another that keeps us on fire for the Lord. You know, some people say, well, I don't need a church. I go out to the woods and I'm with nature and there's where my church is. I'll show you someone who's not on fire for the Lord and someone who is ineffective with sharing the gospel about Christ. He's out there shooting deer or killing fish. But that's a different message. We'll stick to this one. So as we look through these gifts, let's go through them. I'll use the first page. I tried to thin out the duplicates, but I think I've gotten teachers on there twice. So on the first page, we have wisdom, understanding, counsel, knowledge, prophecy, ministry, teaching, exhortation. That's a gift. Exhortation, giving, ruling, mercy, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, faith, healing, miracles, discernment of spirits, tongues, and interpretation of tongues. Those are the gifts that are listed. If you hear someone saying they have the gift that is not listed in here, there are two tests to know whether it's a gift. One of them, is it in the Bible? The second one is it, have you had that all your life or only since you've been saved? Because if you've had it all your life, that's not a gift because you didn't have the Holy Spirit before you were saved. And I'll give you an example. These gifts are supernatural, period. They're supernatural. They're not natural to you. They're supernatural. And they occur when the Holy Spirit deems it necessary for you to have them. I'll give you an example. As I mentioned, I very bent into the engineering type field. And I would love it if I were in a basement with my test equipment and building robots and not be around anyone, just around my oscilloscopes and my meters and my soldering iron and all the parts and pieces and putting them together and creating something out of nothing. Well, not nothing, but putting together things that turn into something. I would be ecstatic. But after I got saved, After I got saved, eventually I was asked to give a message to a shelter. And I said, "You mean get up and speak in front of people?" And they said, "Well, that's kind of the idea." And I said, "Well, yeah, I don't think so." And I prayed about it, and God just put it on my heart that I really needed to be there. And man, you talk about the scariest time in my life. I was sitting there, you know, they were playing the music, you know, and singing the hymns and stuff like that, and I'm back there, please God, you know, earthquake, anything, just. I don't really want to do this, but nevertheless, your will not mine. And sure enough, the earthquake didn't happen. The buildings just stood still, and the people were still there, and the hymns were finished, and it was time for me to get up and do a message. I don't know what happened, but the fear was gone. I opened up his word, and I started teaching out of his word, and the fear was gone. That was supernatural. That wasn't me. And the words just came out. I don't know where they came from. But the Holy Spirit just started speaking through me and gave me the gift of teaching at that time. It was not me, because, like I said, I'm the guy in the basement. I'm very happy down there. But God took me out of my comfort zone, and he said, I need you to teach my people, and I will give you the gift to be able to do that. I didn't take a test to see what kind of gift I had. I didn't go to seminary for a professor to tell me I had this gift. I went up in faith and did what God asked me to do, and he gave me the gift. That's how we know what gift we have. And I'm not totally against the test, but from what the ones I have seen, they seem to focus more on the natural abilities, the things that you like to do. And then it tells you, because you like to do these things, you have this gift. And I think that's backwards. That's not supernatural. I think that God puts you in uncomfortable positions so that you are totally relying on him out of your comfort zone to be able to do his work. And that's when you know you have that gift. I think there's people do not know what their spiritual gift is because the churches these days do not allow us to exercise our gifts or to find out what our gifts are. That is the purpose of the Koinonia time. We are giving you the opportunity to explore what your gifts are. When you talk to a fellow congregant and you ask them how their week was going, what kind of challenges they're going through, what kind of things you can pray for, you know, I think at that time, the Holy Spirit will guide you and tell you that you need to use this gift with this person. Perhaps they're going through a tough financial time. The Holy Spirit will prompt you. You know, maybe you're naturally a tightwad and makes Lincoln squeal on the penny. But God will put on your heart that you need to let go of the penny. And you need to give. And he will give you the gift of giving and help that person. And in turn, help build the body. And you can't know that unless you have the opportunity to experience that. And that's why we do the Koinonia time. You know, perhaps somebody is having a really tough emotional time. And naturally, you're kind of a standoff person. And you say, well, tough luck for you, huh? But God can give you the gift of exhortation at that time to help build the body. And you get the idea as we go down the list. How God can reveal to you the gift that he has given you. But you can only do it if you seek it. Before the next Koinonia time, pray. Say, God, please, Holy Spirit, reveal to me the gift I need today for this person that I'm going to meet with. And he will. Now, there is an argument about, and I'm not going to choose one way or the other. There's evidence for both, but there's an argument. How many gifts can I have? Some people say only one. Some people say multiple. There is examples for both. For instance, the apostles, they had at least four. They had the gift of being apostle. They had the gift of healing. They had the gift of ministry. They had the gift of prophets. They had the gift of evangelists. I mean, they had multiple gifts that the Holy Spirit gave them. But you and I, we can't be apostles. And Acts tells us why. It's because in order to be an apostle, you would have had to been face to face with Jesus as he was walking and been one of his disciples. That's what makes you an apostle. So you can't have the gift of apostleship. Jesus, you can't be face to face with him. He's with you, but he's not. You can't see him. You haven't been with him during his earthly ministry. That's the key point right there. So there are some gifts that are not available to us anymore. And you know what? We don't have to tell the Holy Spirit what they are. He already knows. What we have to do is we have to be open and we have to be faithful to the Holy Spirit that he will reveal to us what our gifts are. So in the third page, I have listed the gifts by types. We have the speaking gifts, the serving gifts, the gifts of power, and the gifts of people or roles. And, you know, if you did a search on the internet, you would find people categorizing them differently. I believe I've narrowed it down to basically two. And that is the active ministering gifts, and then the gifts of serving with one another and helping one another grow. And then there are the administrating gifts, you know, the teaching and the preaching and administration. And so those are the two categories I've narrowed it down to, but you can use the categories that are listed there as an example. The important thing is not how we categorize them. You know, I think the important thing is knowing what they are. And so that's why I think page two is more important, knowing where to find where the spiritual gifts are. And that's important so that people don't derail you and confuse you in saying, you know, I have the gift of gab, you know. I have, you know, use your imagination. You know, people come up with all kinds. I have the spiritual gift of fishing. I reel in lots of fish, you know. The thing is to know what they are so that you won't be confused. If it's not in the Bible, if it can't edify the body, then it's not a spiritual gift. It could be a natural gift. Now, can God use a natural gift to help build the body? Absolutely. You know, my natural gift is electronics and engineering, and Barry and I, you know, operate the media booth that helps, you know, with the service and part of building the body. So we can definitely use our natural abilities to help build the body, but there are times when there needs to be a supernatural gift given, because that's the only way that you're going to be able to reach your brother or your sister, because they have a need that you can only meet supernaturally. And so that is the purpose of this lesson today. And like I said, if you want to learn exactly what each gift is and how it's used and how it's presented, You know, you can do a study on your own, and or you can talk to Dave and ask him to do an in-depth study. I'm sure Dave would be more than happy to do that. Yeah. And so, in conclusion, we have to realize, don't we have an awesome God? Isn't it just marvelous how generous and loving and caring? You think about it. This is the creator of the universe who can just literally wipe it out with a word. That he is so loving and tender and generous that he cares for us, his children. And he is so loving, he gives us free gifts. We don't even ask for them. He gives it to us freely. The one gift we do ask for is the gift for eternal life with him. But all we have to do is ask. And he gives it to us freely. All we do is we come to a place in our life where we realize that, you know, I've been walking this earth for 68 years, and so far I ain't doing a good job. But I have faith, Lord, that you will do a good job in me to help cleanse me of my sins, all the wrongdoings that I have done, and to enter my heart and my life and start a personal relationship with you. And in that, Lord, I pray you forgive me and I become one with you. And he will. And at that point, the Holy Spirit baptizes you and you become his temple. And then he freely gives you these gifts to be able to help one another, to help grow the church. How awesome is that? First, he gives us eternal life with him, and then he gives us a bonus, these free gifts supernaturally. What an awesome, awesome God. And I challenge you, if you don't have that, if you don't have that personal relationship with Christ, that you open up your heart, you bow your knee, and you confess to God that you need him and ask him to forgive your sin and to have a personal relationship with him, he will. You can do that today. And it's free, and it's painless. As a matter of fact, he gives you a joy unspeakable, and he gives you a peace beyond understanding. Don't you want that in your life? I praise God that I have that in my life, and you have that opportunity. So if you'd like to do that before you leave today, you talk to either of the elders, Don or Dave or I, and we will sit with you and we will help you go through that. So I hope that this lesson today clarifies more in your mind about what the gifts are, how they can be used, why they are. And I pray that next Sunday that the Holy Spirit will reveal to you what your gift is and to be able to share it with one another at the next Koinonia time. Dave, will you close us?
Thanks, Dennis. I forgot one very important